today. Before I begin, I would like to just acknowledge the presence of the Lord. If I don't have his anointing, then anything I say to you is not going to make a difference, but God's anointing makes the difference. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you give us understanding. Help me, O God, to portray, to bring the word that you have put on my heart. God, you are in it, of all the times in our lives, we need you today, especially in our world today. We face many decisions that we have to make, and I pray, God, that you will help us and let this word sink into our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled my message today, The Valley of Decision. The Valley of Decision. You know that life is filled with choices that affect us every day. Our choices not only affect us, but they also affect others around us, our friends, our children, our grandchildren. And we may not see the results of those choices immediately. Sometimes it takes time before we realize the results of our choices. The power that has been given into the hands of man is the power to make decisions for himself or herself. Many people have a hard time making a decision. They say, I just don't know how to decide, and sometimes I get in that predicament myself. But we all must make decisions. The capacity of an individual lies in his or her ability to make a decision. And if you don't make a decision, what have you done? You have made a decision. Whether you tried or not, you made a decision. And all of us are summoned to it, all of us. I'm born into it. I cannot escape it. I have decisions that face me. You have them, and we cannot get away from it. I'm forced to live in a world of decision. And my life and your life is made up of those decisions that we make or that we fail to make. The year was 49 BC. Julius Caesar, with his legion of soldiers, had conquered all of modern France. The Roman Senate had ordered him to disband the legion and come home. Now with his troops, he stood on the banks of the Rubicon River, and Roman law strictly forbade him to any commander, not just him, to lead a standing army across the stream. But he made a decision. He paused only for a moment. And then he made his decision, crying, "The die is cast." In other words, the decision is made. He laid his whip to the team, plunged his chariot across the bridge, and led his men on to Rome. They seized control of the government, and the rest is history. Since that day, to cross the Rubicon, or that river, means to make a decision that affects all of life. A decision from which there is no retreat. To pass a point of no return, there is no going back. There are many decisions we make. We cannot change it. It's already done. We have to be careful and have God's direction. Centuries before Caesar, Joshua crossed a Rubicon of his own on the map of his life. In Joshua chapter 24, he recounted God's mercies to Israel. Then he ended with a passionate appeal to the nation to choose once and for all whom they would serve. He said, "You have wavered off and on, off and on, off and on," he told them. "Long enough. But now today, right here, once and for all, decide whom you will serve." Many people do that. They say, "I'm going to serve the Lord." They waver back and forth. They don't make the decision. He boldly announced his own decision. Joshua did in the 15th verse. He said, "Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." And then he said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, we see there that Moses was preparing to die. Now, Moses was before Joshua, but he was preparing to die, and he told the people, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands. Moses was getting ready to leave the world and leave his position of leadership. And this is what he's telling the people. He said, you have before you life or death. You can prosper, but he said, keep the Lord's commandments. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, he said, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. I think of our nation, and God help us. It was founded on the Word of God, on the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. Now they don't hang it anywhere in any government office. We have veered away. But Moses told them then, he said, you will certainly be destroyed if you do not worship the Lord, if you're drawn away. And then he went on and he said, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. It is so important for us to make that decision for our children, for our posterity. Joshua took the place of Moses when Moses died, and now Joshua is an old man when he's getting ready to die, and his farewell address and his warning to the people about the judgment of God, if they fail to honor his commands, is the same as that of Moses. Joshua, a great military leader, had led Israel from victory to victory, and he reminded the people of all the victories God had given. We need to look back in our lives and see, where has God brought us through? So many things that he's brought us through. And he reminded them of that. And he said, but serve God and live. Serve these other gods that of the people around you, and you will die and come under the judgment of God. There are lots of gods or things that are going on in our world today. If we turn our face toward that and we embrace it, we say, oh, well, I guess it's okay. God is merciful and he understands. God understands that he is holy, and he said, serve me. The message has not changed. You obey the word of God, not the things of man. Joshua's decision to serve the Lord, Yahweh, meant he transferred all his trust from other gods and worldly things to the true God, Yahweh. It is wrong for parents to say, I will not force religion on my child. Many parents say that, well, I'm not going to force my kid to go to church, or I'm not going to force my kid to do anything or have devotions. If we have devotions, that I'm going to let them decide. They can decide whether to participate in family devotions, because I don't want to turn him or her against God, they say, when he or she is older. That is how you turn them against God, by failing to teach them. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Literally, he's saying, if you translate that in the Greek, or you look at it in the Hebrew, he's saying, force feed your child the word of God. Touch that uvula in the back of the throat. It will force him to swallow. And he said, force feed your children the word of God. You say, well, that sounds cruel. I just can't do that. That's what God says to do. It forces swallowing. He said, don't leave it up to the child. I mean, after all, your kid gets up and he doesn't want to brush his teeth, or he doesn't want to take a shower, do you say, okay, that's fine? Do you just go on? If he doesn't want to do anything, pick up his dirty clothes? You don't do that. Neither do you do it when it comes to training and teaching them the ways of God. We have an obligation. If we do not teach our children, our posterity, we will give an account. Before the whole congregation of Israel, Joshua spoke out for the Lord. It is better to make decisions privately than not at all, but it is best to declare publicly, openly, and clearly. Like Joshua did, he said, I, as for me and my house, I choose to, we will serve the Lord. We can say that before a friend or foe, before a believer and unbeliever, that we will serve the Lord. We should do that, because what does the Bible say? Jesus said in Luke, the 9th chapter, he said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." I don't want God to be ashamed of me. If I'm ashamed of him, Jesus said he's going to be ashamed of you before the holy angels, before the congregation of the righteous. On Sherman's march to the sea, he came to Atlanta in the war, Civil War. A grandmother met him and his troops with only a broom in her hands. "What did you think you could do with a broom against Union rifles and cannons?" someone asked. "Nothing," she replied. "I just want to make it clear whose side I am on." We need to make it clear whose side we're on. Sometimes as Christians, we cower down. We don't want people to know where we stand. A lot of these things going on that are so crazy in the world today, saying, "I don't know whether I'm a man or I'm a woman, or I want to do this or that, and I want to wear the clothes, I want to carry a purse," whatever that is going on. We need to make it clear whose side we are on. Don't just cower down and say, "Well, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings." Doesn't mean that you have to be hateful. Jesus loved people, but he was straightforward in his message to them. King Agrippa was in the valley of decision, the Bible, when Paul was talking to him in the 26th chapter of Acts. Paul, before King Agrippa, gave testimony of how he was gloriously converted. Paul was a prisoner, and he went before the king. And he told him, he testified, it could have cost him his life, but he testified how Jesus met him on the way. He was a persecutor of the Christian. And he says, "And Jesus met me," and he told him the message. Paul brought Christ so real before the king that he was greatly moved. But in Acts, the 26th chapter, verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." Almost. How many people are in that situation? How many times when we talk to somebody, they say, "Well, almost, but still undecided. Almost, but left in the valley." Almost, as far as is known, it was a final almost, and he was altogether lost to hell. As far as we know, I don't know if he ever made a decision. There are people in hell who were almost persuaded, but never made up their minds. We have to make a decision. We have to stand firmly for what we believe. King Agrippa was convicted but failed to decide. The valley of decision is before all of us constantly, and it is filled with roads and crossroads and crossings. There are ways that are narrow, and there are ways that are wide and broad. All kinds of turns and tricky things in the road. It's filled with lights, some red, green, flashing. It's filled with every kind of allurement and detention and distraction. In our lives, we have trials, and it's filled with invitation in this road, on this road to in life. In that valley of decision where we are, God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. But Satan is also there, and his legions. We face questions about life every day that we live. The responsibility of each decision is ours. It's my own. It is my responsibility, not somebody else's responsibility. How I am, the way I go, is due to my choices. Many times people have the tendency to blame somebody else for what we are or for the choices that they've made. We hear that all the time. In fact, you could go to a counselor and the first thing they'll say is, "Well, let's dig back and see what caused this. I know it's not your fault." We have a responsibility. I could get hit with a ball in the side of the head, and I could respond one way. Well, I might not have the ability. Maybe that's not a good example. But we have the choice. We can be put down, but God can lift us up. And so, as in Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6, remember Adam and Eve had that same tendency to blame somebody else for what choice they had made. And when Adam sinned, he blamed his wife. He blamed the woman that you gave me. He blamed God. You gave me this woman, and that's the reason that I fell. And she led me to eat of the forbidden fruit. The woman said, it's the serpent. It's because of the serpent. It's not my fault. He deceived me. We tend to blame. We've carried that down from our great-great-grandparents. Now, still, we do that. We will each one stand before God accountable for our own decisions. Nobody else's but ours. Every generation needs to hear this message over and over again because it applies to every generation and to every person. We have to make a choice, a decision in life, many of them. When Alexander the Great was asked how he conquered the world, he said, by not wavering, by not wavering. I made a choice, a decision right then. James says in the first chapter, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you can't make up your mind, you're unstable in everything. God has given all of us the responsibility of choice. We can make a decision to live for Him or not to live for Him. God is not a God that will force Himself on anyone. He will tenderly woo, and the Holy Spirit entices and woos us. We can resist. But He has given us an option as to what we want to do and what will be in our future if we forsake His commands. We know that the consequences are there if we do not obey. America should be grateful to God for the blessings He has given us. But instead, we are worshiping the gods of pleasure, the gods of self, the gods of lust, greed, materialism, and hate. America is in a sad state. The people have turned away from God, so many of them. So few are willing to serve the Lord. I cannot tell you how to vote, except I will tell you, vote according to the Word of God. Do not vote for somebody who's denying and disputing the Word of God. What God says is truth. God gave Adam and Eve the right to choose. They made a wrong choice, knowing it would bring death. Because of that first sin in the Garden of Eden, man has inherited that tendency to sin ever since, because it came from them. The seed of sin is in us when we're born. Remember how David said, he said, I was conceived in sin. In my mother's womb, I already have that tendency to sin. And that is true. In Joel, the third chapter, he says, he wrote, let the nations be roused, and let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. The Lord said, I'm going to judge the nations based on what the choices they've made. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Our nation right now is in the valley of decision as to who to vote for as president. Many people say, well, I know that this problem exists, and I know there's not anybody that's really perfect, Jesus only, and He one day will rule and reign. Aren't you glad? He's a perfect ruler. But it's like the story that the man told his kids that they wanted to go see a movie that was perverse and was ugly and inappropriate. And he said, no, you're not going to. Oh, she's got a few bad words. Just a little bit of vulgarity, a little bit of sexual activity. Not much, but the rest of it really has a good ending. So his dad says, no, he made up a batch of cookies, cookie dough. And he baked the cookies, and he said, oh, wow, Dad, this is great what you've done. And he said, yeah, it's good, good ingredients. And natural cold butter, and it's got the all the chips and the nuts and everything. I only have just a little bit of dog poop in it, just a little. And of course, the kids didn't want to eat that, nor would you or I. That is what we do when we embrace some of the philosophies that the world is pushing to us, and they're saying, well, we have to, I mean, after all, we have to go by the Bible. We have to say, well, we're going to help our neighbor. We've got to help everybody, and we don't want to be critical of somebody who decides something that is not according to the Word of God. We have to accept and embrace it. No, we don't. We do not. We stand by the Word of God. I'm not saying we're out there to knock them in the head and kick them down, but they need Jesus. And we need to be the one to exhibit that message to them. And our nation is in the valley of decision. Time and again, God has spoken through His Word, but we have refused to listen. Again and again. I trust that we'll have some more peace in our land. I trust that things will work out, but I don't know. I know that we as Christians, every one of us, should vote. And when prayer was taken out of schools, we accepted it and refused to listen to God's Word. I remember we were pastoring the church in Chandler when prayer was taken out of the schools, and my husband was talking about it, and we had a man in the congregation that made the comment. He said, well, really, we should not allow prayer in the school, because if you allow our prayer, our Christian prayer, you have to allow all the other prayers, all the Buddhists and whatever else. We can't allow that. That's garbage. Our nation was founded upon the Word of God. We did not embrace all of the rest. You know, we don't need to embrace that, but we need to embrace the Word of God. When 9/11 hit, we were only temporarily broken and repented for a while. And then we forgot about it. The movements that defy the Word of God, we tend to cower down and keep silent just in case we might offend someone. It's better to offend somebody and tell them about Jesus. And maybe they will listen later. I'm not saying that you come out in the wrong manner. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But we need to stand our ground. Like the little lady that said, I just want someone to know whose side I'm on. We need to make that declaration whose side we are on. We're worried about offending somebody, but we offend God and disregard His godly instructions. We need to be concerned about offending God. The world claims that it is a declaration of their freedom to disregard the righteous law of God. We have become a nation that is laden with iniquities and blasphemy against God. God help us. It was not that way. You, most of you here today in the congregation, remember when it was different. It wasn't the way it is now, but now people are, kids are so confused, and parents have failed to teach them, and parents have not taught them, but we have. In 2 Chronicles, God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Several different things. You call yourself a Christian. Then humble yourself. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Quite a few things there. He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If ever we have needed a healing in our land, it is today. We walk on, people are saying, I need to move to the country. I need to get out of here. I need to do this and that. There's already turmoil and confusion. My son-in-law is trying to find work. And he said, there just isn't work. And he says, what am I going to do? We have to trust the Lord. Whatever we do, we cannot go with the things that the world has said, this is how, because the day will come. One day, and I trust that I don't believe we will be here. I believe Jesus will come before that time. But there will come a day when you can neither buy nor sell without the mark on your body, in your forehead, on your hand. You will be, and the only way those who do not go when Jesus comes, the only way they can be saved, they will have to give their lives. They'll have to be their head decapitated. And so if you can't stand for Jesus now, how are you going to stand when your children, when your babies are crying and they're hungry? And then you say, well, I can go without, I can stand. But can you stand when you see your babies, your grandbabies crying and hurting? Let us tell them about Jesus. We want to go with him. We want to avoid all of that. Let us make the decision to train our children and to take a stand and be who we are. And I implore you, encourage you, don't just stay back and say, well, I'm just not going to vote at all. Go and vote for the person who stands for the Word of God. I'm not saying that everything that they say, but you as nearly to the Word of God as possible. Absolutely. And if you have not, if you're watching today, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, today is the day of salvation. You can put it off, but it's not wise to put it off. We need to make the decision. Right now is the day of salvation. Accept him. Take a stand and say, I will follow him. There's a song that says, though none go with me, yet I will follow. I will make that decision, and I encourage you today, make the decision to live for Jesus, to make him Lord of your life. You may go through tunnels, you may go through crooked places in life, but Jesus is there with you, and he will be with you if you just make that decision. Let us just pray, and I trust that as we pray, you will make the decision, let Jesus into your heart. Lord Jesus, we come to you recognizing that without you, without the blood of Jesus, we have no atonement. Only your blood. The blood of bulls and goats cannot save us. All of our works cannot save us. We recognize that we are sinners. Only you can take away our sins by your blood. We accept you now, recognizing we need the blood of Jesus. I pray that you will reach into the hearts of those who are listening today. Let them make that decision. Not put it off and say, I'm almost persuaded, but later. We cannot put it off. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you have made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He will direct you and he will guide you. The God of the mountain is God in the valley. When you go through tough times, he'll be there with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week and give you his favor. Anybody have anything that we need to mention? Don't forget to pray for people that are not here. And sometimes, you know, people can get discouraged. And when you have just a few people, it causes some people to become discouraged. And we don't want them to be discouraged because heaven, it's not worth it. We make the decision. We follow Jesus at any cost. Amen. Anybody have anything that you want to say? I think.